Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
This is The Burt Show.
All right, let's continue. Really, really, really bad ideas. We'll ask people to send us their pictures, and we'll go around the room, and we will rate them if they really want them, just so they know what league they are in and what they should be approaching out in the wild, right? So I thought Fridays went really, really well, because I think I proved a point on Friday that most of us look at ourselves at a lesser number than the rest of the world does.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that was surprising. Like, there are these people that sent in their photos and they thought they were like sixes, but I thought both of them were easily like very, very attractive individuals. Like, walk into a bar, definitely turn heads, attractiveness. I think we rated them both like sevens and eights, and they thought they were sixes.
For sure. A lot of the time, you're your own worst critic.
There are some storylines that, as I'm going through a lot of these pictures, that are pretty obvious that I want to cover over the next couple of days when we do this. Like, I'm getting a lot of pictures from married people. And I'm like, here you are, you're settled in your relationship. You're not out there, man. So what difference does it make what league you're in at that point?
Well, maybe they wonder after, you know, being married for 10 years, have we changed leagues? You know, when we met, we were both sevens or whatever, but now I feel like I'm more of a nine, or I feel like I'm more of a four. Like, have I downgraded, I guess, say, out of the league I married into?
And you also get comfortable in your relationship. Like, I would want to know what other people thought of me. I'm not planning on stepping out on my man, but I'm just curious. It's the same reason you get dressed up when you go out to a restaurant, because you care what other people think about you.
Right. Okay. Then there's going to be one day when we got some pictures from spectacularly good looking people. And I am really, really curious, like, on any scale, when these people walk into a room, you would go, wow, that's a very attractive person. But why do they not think so? Or why are they even questioning it?
I think life experiences is just, you know, you go through life, you have your ups and downs, and things unfortunately will affect your self-esteem. And sometimes, you know, you never really fully recover. So sometimes you just kind of need that lift, that support.
That self-esteem part is a big part. And I think we covered that on Friday. Like, you see yourself as a certain way, right? And if your self-esteem isn't great, then you're not going to rank your physical looks great either.
I think you also just get used to your face. Like, you see yourself so often that you stop looking special to yourself, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think a lot of people want to get rated because they want to know, like, what are people's knee jerks reaction when they see you for the first time? Because I've been looking at myself for 30 years or whatever, that at this point, like, I don't know what I am, because I just look the same every day to myself.
Tired of his face.
I'm over it.
All right, we got two more to go through today. We have offered like a fake, you want to use a fake name? Do you want to be on the voice disguiser? We're not putting the pictures up publicly just to make sure that nobody is getting a hard time from anybody. But Adeline here is like, no fake name, no voice disguiser. I'm good to go. Hey, Adeline.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. All right. So you have given what you consider your number to our producers. Don't tell us right now, but you have already given that number, right?
Yes. Do I say now?
No. Not yet.
No, wait till after. Okay.
Yes. All right. So Adeline, what was your motivation for sending this picture in the first place?
I mean, I guess I've just always been curious. So, I mean, guys are offering, I might as well.
Okay.
I mean, I had my son like a year ago, and I just haven't really focused on myself too much until recently. So I just thought, see what other people think.
Okay. And I just want to be clear here with both of our callers today, and you got to say it. You got to say it. You want 100% honesty, right? You don't want us to sugarcoat it.
Yes.
I think you got a lot of people in here that are very nice people. But you're saying, look, I want brutal truth, you guys.
Yes, no, complete honesty.
Okay.
I could ask anyone for it sugarcoated.
Okay. All right, so what we're going to do is the same format as we did on Friday. We are all going to write down the numbers. They're not going to be assigned to anybody. We're not verbally going to say them out loud. Tommy will do an average, and then we will tell you what the room thinks you are, and then you will tell us what number you gave before we even started, okay?
Okay.
All right, let me ask everybody also. In a 1 to 10 world, right, if 10 is the best and 1 is eesh, what would be considered average there? Because I've heard some people say 7, others say 5.
I've heard 5, but five. I always thought 7.
I think 7 is like slightly above average. And I think most people put themselves in the 7 category because most people don't feel like they're like a perfect bombshell Love Island 10. But a lot of people I think a good chunk of people have enough self-esteem to feel like they're above the average of 5 or 6.
Yeah, I would say 5 is the average. It doesn't feel like it. Like, if you got rated a 5, I think you'd be offended.
Mm.
But I also look at it as getting a 10 is celeb level to me. Like, it's very, I mean, I'm a 10, but it's super hard to get here. And so that's just not achievable. And I feel like 9 is the real person. Hot, hot, hot. Like, if you're a 9, damn. So to me, an 8 is like super hot. So 5 is average.
And again, this is just based on aesthetics. I think that once you get into a loving relationship, both parties in that relationship are 10s to each other. One might be better looking aesthetically than the other, but you guys both together, like, you just can't do better than that, both personality and aesthetically. So you're both 10s to each other.
Yeah,
that
I think
makes
so.
Sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
All right, Tommy, you want to go ahead and give us the numbers?
All right, we had 6 people voting today. We will not reveal who gave what number, but the first score is a 4. Second score, 4. Third score, wow, 7.
I don't think you need to say it like that.
I didn't see that coming. I did not see that coming.
I think he meant because it's so different from the others.
It's such a big difference from 4. Butthole. 6. Also another 7. And rounding out with another 6. That adds up to 34. Divide that by 6. And Adeline, your score is 5.6. We'll round that up to a 6.
All right. So what was your score for yourself?
I said 6.
A 6.
Oh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pretty straight on about that.
Right in line.
All right. We rounded up, but we're pretty close.
That's decent. That's average.
Okay. You're all right with that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's honestly what I figured.
Okay. Good on here then.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like we need to.
Offended.
Adeline, this is 6 people with questionable judgment. Okay. This is a fun radio bit, but please don't let this define how you look at yourself definitively say that's your number.
It sounds like we're looking at her the same way she's kind of looking at herself.
Yeah. If you want a real answer, go on TikTok and ask. That's always fun, you know.
All right, have a good day. Thank you for sending your picture in.
You too.
Hey, I can't believe Mo's at 4.
Wow, really? It was not me, actually.
All right, this is, am I using her real name, Tommy?
No, this is Feyre.
Oh, hey, Feyre.
Feyre Archeron, Cursebreaker?
Yeah, she's...
of A Court and Thorns and Roses?
Illiterate Cursebreaker.
Yeah, she's one of those... I usually ask, what's your favorite movie? And she couldn't think of anything. So I said, how about books?
Automatic 10, Feyre.
Yeah, and she said that.
I don't know what Feyre is. What?
She's the High Lady of the Night Court, duh.
She's the lead person in A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Everybody know that.
Those books. Yeah, even Mo knows that.
Those books with the ho sprites and fairies.
Hey, Feyre, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, you didn't want the voice disguiser?
No.
Okay, so what was the reason? And I really thought we'd get like maybe two or three. Man, when I was going through them yesterday, we're at like 150.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Oh, wow. So what was your reason for sending the picture in the first place? Like, why do you want to know?
Kind of similar to the last caller. I was just curious. You know, you see yourself every day in the mirror and you might just look average to yourself. You get dressed up for the night and you think, oh, I look good. And then see a picture of yourself and you're like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So, just curious.
Okay. Let's go ahead and do this.
I will say you have absolutely beautiful, expressive eyes. Your lips, I would pay money for those.
Oh, yeah. That's like the kind of lips that people pay for at the injector place.
And you've got like Selena Gomez's eyes where she always looks like she has a little secret that she knows that you don't, but it's like a fun, playful one.
Yeah, thank you.
And also, I love your style.
What are the secrets? Can you tell us the secrets while we're
I don't know. I'm not friends with Selena Gomez.
No, I'm asking for her. Feyre, give us some secrets.
Abby, I didn't know where you were going with that comment about paying where you'd go to pay to get those lips.
Yeah, it's what you pay. You get, you get lip filler.
Oh my God.
Jesus, Tommy.
This is a family show.
Feyre, I just want to also say that you want brutal honesty, right? You don't want us to sugarcoat things. You want the honest truth. Why? Why do you want the honest truth? Just to see if your number is the same?
See if my number is the same, and honestly, to know whether or not I could improve somehow.
Hmm. Okay. All right, Tommy.
All right. First vote is a 4. Stop.
What?
What are they doing? You all right?
My intern Lizzie started moving stuff around.
God, Lizzie. Gosh, you're hit him free.
We're going to start raiding the interns.
First vote's a 4. Second vote, 5. Third vote, 5. Fourth vote, 5. Sixth vote, 7. And
again,
Tommy, we just went through this.
Can you just,
a 7?
Can you just like 7?
Like, when you go from 4 to 7.
But it could be offensive.
I don't want to be like that teacher in Ferris Bueller. 4, 5,
7!
All right, so that adds up to 31 divided by 6. Your score is 5.1. We'll round it down to a 5.
Ouch. I don't know you needed to round down either. I'm trying to make this as
I'm sorry. I'm the counter. I'm the rule taker when it comes to scores.
Well,
it's a 5.
It's a 5-1. We'll round down to a 2.
Hey, I make the rules.
I wasn't the ones voting 4 and 5.
All right, Feyre. Okay, so we got ourselves a 5.1. That's a very important point one there. What did you score yourself?
I said 6.
Oh, okay. That's a bummer.
Yep.
All right. So your second question there.
She wasn't that far off.
You just did like I did. She said 6 and you go, ooh.
I just got really uncomfortable. I didn't know what to say. Yeah.
Well, again, look at this. Someone said there was a survey that proved X, Y, and Z and they told you the sample size was 6 people, you'd be like, that survey is wrong. Plus Jackson's in here. You can't trust him.
All right, Feyre, you had a second question on that also?
I put on the submission form, if I lost weight, do we think that would have any sort of effect on my number? Because, beauty standards and all.
Yeah, that's a loaded question, man. If you lost weight, would your number go up?
How do you want to answer that, Bert?
I don't.
I will.
Okay, go ahead.
Leveling with you, Feyre, I am a big girl, okay? I'm like a size 20, 22. I'll put it out there. Unfortunately, the answer is yes, and it's BS. But like you said, it's beauty standards, and I hate that, and I don't want you to do it. I want you to embrace yourself as you are and know that you are enough, and you don't have to put yourself into some stupid little box that a magazine in Hollywood says you have to in order to be beautiful. I think you're beautiful, But the reality of the situation isn't always the same as what we wish it would be. And so, yes, right. Beauty standards exist. But we can break them down!
Rebecca? Yeah, I think I can answer that from experience because I lost over 70 pounds and people seem very surprised that I'm hot now. And I was like, they're kind of shocked. And I was like, I felt hot back then and I feel like I was equally hot. And I think no matter what size you are, you'll always be a 5 to me. No, I'm just kidding. No, I didn't rate you a five. I think you're very beautiful and I want you to keep that in your heart because we are two big forehead girls. We got big brains and we are going through life beautiful.
Are you taking notes from Tommy?
Rebecca! Big foreheads are a sign of beauty.
You're making this worse.
No!
Did you give her a 4 for her forehead?
This is solidarity. I think she's very pretty.
Jackson can't even face you.
He's not. He is distancing himself so far from you right now.
And Feyre, you don't want someone anyway from experience who's only attracted to like looks or people who try and force themselves in that box. Trust.
No, of course not. I mean, my boyfriend thinks I'm beautiful.
So let me ask you the same question. You're in a relationship. You've got a boyfriend. So why even sent the picture?
Just curiosity. Genuinely just curiosity.
Okay. Are you still going to listen to us after this? Or were you uncomfortable? Or is this bad?
No. I wanted brutal honesty. I've been listening to you guys since like 2001 when I was like 10, 11.
You want to rate the show? Get some payback.
It's probably
a 5.0.
Entertainment Buzz is coming up next.
Dave Portnoy is mad that Cole, or is not, sorry, I don't even know where my head is at right now. Dave Portnoy isn't mad that
last segment was a little jarring.
I know, I'm a little, after the forehead comment, I feel like I don't know where to go from here.
Foreheads are really pretty.
It's the Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
CBS is canceling The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and they are blaming it on money, but a lot of people think there's something shadier going on. So a lot of people think that there's something happening is because the timing is a little suspicious because the announcement had come right after Stephen Colbert had called out CBS's parent company, Paramount, for doing a $16 million settlement with President Trump. And even Stephen Colbert had joked that it was a big fat bribe, direct quote. Now, Paramount is trying to merge with another company, so they need government approval. So a lot of people feel like, okay, they've got to kind of play nice with the government. So some politicians are demanding answers, like Elizabeth Warren and Adam Schiff. They're asking if this was really about cost cutting or political pressure. And a lot of people think, no, this is just coming down to cost because late night TV isn't making as much money as it used to. So the bottom line here is that CBS is saying this is a business decision, but the internet and Washington isn't totally buying it. Now, there's one guy who's been very vocal about this, and it comes down to the Barstool Sports guy, Dave Portnoy. He is the mastermind behind this huge, huge media company. And he basically says, listen, like my company, Barstool Sports, has the same amount of people working on the entire company as Stephen Colbert's singular show that's losing money has. So obviously it just comes down to math.
Buddy, you're losing $40 million a year. You have 200 people creating one show. We have 200 people at Barstool Content Creators creating like 30 shows. And some of them, the bigger ones, draw a bigger audience than Colbert. So, like, what are we talking about? And then you compound that with Colbert openly going on air, being like, I don't trust CBS. This relationship can never be repaired. I can't believe they bowed or paid that lawsuit to Trump. If one of my employees, who I was paying $16 million a year, while losing $40 million a year, went on their show and was like, I don't like Dave. I don't trust Dave. You know what I would do? Like, welcome to the real f***ing world.
Yeah, I don't entirely disagree with him. I think it's all sort of true. I think there's grains of truth in all of this. So, and I have an interesting perspective on this on both sides as somebody that owns a company, but also a performer as well. The truth of the matter is when you're making money for your company, you can get away with a lot more stuff, right? The fact that he was losing so much money, $40 to $50 million a year, and making $16 million. And while he was the number one night rated show, there's been a lot of decline in that format for a very long time. They're just not making as much money anymore. So with this merger of Paramount, which is like a $1 billion merger, and it has to be okayed by the FCC, government regulated, I think it all took, I think it all is sort of this one soup of a problem for Steve Colbert. I think both are true.
It was kind of a perfect storm, but it also does feel a little bit like, I don't know, maybe an infringement on freedom of speech. Like, this is the, this guy's job is to make commentary on what's happening in the world. And the reality is what's going on with his company is something that's happening in the world. And so, of course, he's going to make jokes about it. He's going to make commentary on it. So if this is the real reason why he got the axe, I think that's totally messed up. But I mean, yes, from a math standpoint, like if you're making 16 million but losing 50 or 40 million, obviously that doesn't make sense. But he's such a successful brand that I really feel like if they wanted to keep him, they would figure out a way to make it successful on streaming platforms, to make it fit more into the mold of the 21st century of how people are consuming their media, because he is so successful and his ratings have been good despite the fact that TV as a whole is losing viewership.
Yeah, the economics of old school TV and late night show formats just simply don't work as they used to, and it's not reaching the same audiences as these podcasts are. And if those numbers are true, that the company was losing that amount of money while he was making that amount of money, I really don't see anything wrong with what Dave is saying.
Yeah, I think that if that show is making $50 million, he doesn't get the axe.
No, I mean,
even though there's a $1 billion merger on the table here, but if he's making that company $50 million, he's not getting the ad.
But I mean, who else is as successful on CBS as Stephen Colbert? You know what I mean? Other than like their main news people.
What do you consider successful?
Well, to
me, ratings wise or money?
I think Stephen Colbert as a brand is incredibly successful. I think when you look at the audiences of who is paying attention to CBS, I mean, the only other big people on CBS that I can think of are like Gayle King. I can't name another news anchor on CBS that I think has the same kind of star power as Stephen Colbert.
I'm having these talks with my eldest son so often now, who is a kid that just graduated college and he wants to get into performing arts. And we're always talking about how industries are changing and his opinion about AI and this and that. And I said, really, Hayden, it comes down to one thing, man. I know you want to be an artist, dude. I know you want to be independent. I know you want to be creative. I know you want to share what you've got. Man, it comes down to business, dude. It comes down to wins and losses and profit and losses. And that is really it. That is absolutely the truth.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, Colbert is going to be fine. He'll start a podcast. He'll start a YouTube channel. Absolutely. He'll get on TikTok. Maybe we'll see Colbert doing some little dances. It'll be hysterical.
Here, Bert Show.
Some women are saying that this is the greatest cheat idea of all time.
Of all time. And I don't think it's an exaggeration when I say that this is by far the most diabolical way that someone has ever cheated on their partner. And I saw this clip going viral from the Hard or Soft Show podcast. And I don't know if I was more shocked by what she did or more shocked by the comments of women saying, "Atta girl."
Yo, I've never seen nothing like this. The woman is texting her guy.
Mm-hmm.
She's texting her sneaky link, okay. Right? Her husband's at home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She's like, "Yo, stop playing with me. I'll come jump on that right now."
To her sneaky link.
To her sneaky link. Sneaky like, "Yo, pull up. It's whatever." She's like, "All right, I'm about to send you a Cash App right now. $75. He's like, "What's this for?" She sent him a list of groceries. She said, "I want you to go pick up these groceries because I'm going to go tell my husband I'm going grocery shopping. So when I come to your crib, I already got the groceries. We got the 30 to 40 minutes it would have took me to pick up the groceries to knock this."
Fair women.
Son, yo.
That was so intelligent.
Nah. Yo, tear dropped from my eye, bro. Wow.
Yeah, she did that. She did a big one with that one.
Women are.
My brain don't work.
Ingenious.
My dumb ass like, "All right, yo, leave at 4. I'm going to be there at 4:15.
Wow.
That's all I got.
Would have never seen that coming.
Never in a million years. That is, I didn't know whether to be like to cry at how painful that experience seems, or to kind of look at her and go, like, "I give it to you for being brilliant." Because damn, I would have never thought of that.
What were most of the comments?
She should be praised for this. Okay. At least when women cheat, they come back with groceries. Men come back with nothing. This shouldn't be celebrated, but come on, let's be honest. This is absolutely genius. You could, some people are saying things like, obviously, imagine if you put this kind of energy into actually making your relationship work.
Yeah, right.
You know, there were people pushing back saying, come on, man, this, we can't condone this. But there are a lot of women in the comments saying, I'm sorry, if she put that kind of effort into cheating, she deserves to not get caught.
Think about all the money you're saving on those Instacart fees, though. Now it's just Insta-cheat.
Yeah, this is true.
I see you're the lie right there. All right, so talk about the baby mama drama at the baby shower.
Oh, there's a lot of drama happening. Women, it's like we run out of things to talk about, and we just start picking fights for the sake of picking fights. Or maybe it's the pregnancy hormones coming to a head when you finally bring that child into the world. So this all happened at a baby shower I was at over the weekend. And I feel like the baby shower is such an exciting moment, A, because you're bringing all the family and the friends together to kind of celebrate this new life that you're bringing into the world. But a lot of times at baby showers, it's when you start getting like the details about the kid, like what's the kid's name gonna be, like, you know what, let's see pictures of the nursery, like all the things that girls get excited over. And so at this baby shower, we had the name reveal for what we're gonna have the name of the baby be. And they have decided on a beautiful family name for the middle name and a name that they think goes really well with the last name. So they're naming her L. Joe. L. Joe Allstadt. It's going to be a very sweet name, very iconic name. I think it's a great choice for her. But when she revealed the middle name, there was one person at this baby shower who was not happy about it. And it was one of her friends who is also having a baby. So she announces the name and she reveals that that's what they're naming their child. And I guess this friend confronts her and says, hey, I just wanted to let you know, like, we're also naming our child, insert first name, with the middle name Joe. And, you know, my cousin goes, oh, that's great. Like, they're going to have matching middle names. And I guess her friend just kind of like looked at her and said, like, no, like, that's what we're naming our child. Like, first name Joe.
There can only be one.
There can only be one. She's like, it's a family name. And my cousin's like, well, it's also a family name on our side as well. And so I had kind of seen it happen across the room where it was like this very like tense moment where I'm like, I'm noticing they're in this conversation for a while. And afterwards she had given us the tea that she's like, I think my friend is trying to get me to change my child's middle name because she doesn't want us to have the same one, because in her mind, she picked it first. She chose the child's middle name first, even though they're both family names on both sides.
The middle name is rarely ever even used in like public. So why, what's the fight?
I think it's just, she feels like she has claim over this middle name.
Oh, man.
And I was like, I kind of get it if it's the first name, if like this is a name that has a lot of meaning and like, you know, they're friends, so they're going to be calling each other the same thing over and over again. But my cousin is quite literally considering like changing the middle name because she A, doesn't want to upset her friend, but B, she's like, does she have a point? Can there only be one of our kids with the same middle name?
No, that seems a little ridiculous.
Silly.
I don't understand that at all, especially if I didn't do it intentionally. Like, no, I'm not changing the name.
This is why I need Kristen here. I feel like then I'm like, the dudes aren't going to care.
No, we don't get it.
Not at all.
We totally don't get it.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
The biggest risk, according to director James Gunn, the biggest risk he took in the new Superman movie is a 12-minute talking scene. Not the kind of headline you expect to hear about a new action movie starring one of the most iconic superheroes of all time. But he basically is explaining that this was a very significant risk. He felt like it was important to focus on the character development and the conflict between Superman and Lois Lane. This scene is at, I believe, Lois's apartment, and she is interviewing him as Superman. And this, honestly, I haven't seen the movie yet. I feel like is the scene I've seen the most clips of on social media, where people are sharing this back and forth dialogue between them because it is so engaging to listen to.
You've gotten a lot of heat on social media lately.
I don't read that stuff. Superman doesn't have time for selfies.
Third person. You're referring to yourself in third person now?
No, it's just a thing I came up with that I thought I'd try to work into the next interview.
This is on the record, Superman.
Okay, well, not the part where I said that.
Yes. That part.
No, that part was an aside. That was off the record.
You have to say off the record beforehand, not after.
Why are you being like this?
It's fine. I won't write that you spend your spare time trying to think up sound bites, which are terrible, by the way.
Their chemistry is incredible. Like, I'm so happy whoever was in the casting department put these two together, because I feel like that was one of the things that was missing from Henry Cavill and Amy Adams's Superman and Lois Lane. Like, they kind of had, a lot of people feel like they have like a mother-son dynamic, whereas these two, like, you can have this 12-minute talking scene and it does exactly what the director wants it to do, which is establish their chemistry and they're kind of fiery back and forth. And it doesn't feel like it's as long as it is, despite the fact that it's this big risk he feels like he took. Speaking of other directors named James, Billie Eilish is revealing to, or did reveal to a crowd at a Manchester concert she was performing at, that she is working on a 3D project with a very special filmmaker.
So you may have noticed there's like more cameras than usual here. Basically, I can't say much about it, but what I can say is that working on something very, very special with somebody named James Cameron, and it's going to be in 3D.
That sounds like it's going to be fire.
I know. Yeah. Kind of an interesting departure for James Cameron. Like, obviously, has some really iconic films, Titanic being one of them. For him to take on a concert film, I feel like is going to be so interesting, because you're so used to having to, like, create a narrative or take a script that hasn't, like, no one has envisioned yet. Whereas a concert film, it's almost like you've just, like, everything's laid out for you. You've got Billie Eilish. She's going to perform. So it'll be interesting to see what his take is going to be and how he's going to transform it into something that is worthy of James Cameron's name. Mm-hmm. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Man, when you walk out of church, that's a walk of shame also.
What way? That's a stride of pride.
Is it?
You're better than everyone. You woke up on a Sunday and you went to church.
Mm-hmm. But then I walked out.
Yeah, that's the part.
Before the sermon was over.
Oh, you left early.
I left early.
Yeah, that's a sinful walk.
That's a brave move.
That's a walk of sin.
All right, let me see if you guys would have done the same thing. All right. I'm not exactly sure how the formats work in North Point Ministries. So in Atlanta, Andy Stanley, who is just the most amazing communicator and just such an amazing pastor that I really enjoy watching him for so many different reasons. Anyway, I haven't really been going to church all that much the last couple of years. And when I say all that much, none. But it's very important in my girlfriend's life. She is very tied and very connected to her religion and her spirituality. So as is the case, I'm like, you know what? This is important to you. I'm going to try to make it important to me also. She hasn't pressured me at all and told me right from the start, like, this is an important part of my life, but I am not going to pressure you. You do not have to go. But, you know, I've been feeling a certain way about things lately. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's time for me to get back to really relying on God, you know? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to start joining you. So I did last week with her and her dad at North Point, right? And it was a great sermon last week about how different people see the exact same object differently, right? And it really connected with me quite a bit. So that was at North Point, but I'm not exactly sure what happens. But this week, Amanda said that she wanted to go to Buckhead, and this is one of their campuses as well. They've got a whole bunch of them all throughout Georgia, all throughout Atlanta. And North Point is one church and Buckhead Church is the other. So this week we decided to go to Buckhead Church. Well, it was the exact same sermon from the week before at North Point that they were doing at Buckhead Church.
Oh, was it one of those scenarios where they basically just turn on a YouTube video?
No. Dude was live.
Oh, he was there.
Yeah, he was there. And I think it was the same guy that did it last week. I'm not exactly sure at North Point. Mm. But maybe they mix up the formats for the different churches because they just assume that you're going to be going to the same church every week. I'm not exactly sure. So we get up on Sunday. We head down there. Really wasn't a whole bunch of traffic. Got there early and planted ourselves pretty much in front at Buckhead Church. And we're a minute into it when Amanda realizes we are watching the exact same thing. We are seeing the same thing as we did last week because they highlighted one of her ex-husband's songs in the church. And they led with that last week. So obviously it caught her attention last week and it caught her attention this week, but the sermon was the exact same, right? So after listening to the music, we're a minute and a half, 2 minutes into this. And she's like, we've seen this. We saw this last week.
Are you seeing the same object, but are you seeing it differently?
No, it's the same object, and I'm seeing it the exact... Actually, never got to that part, because we realized 90 seconds in that it's the exact same sermon. So I'm saying nothing, all right? She's got more experience in this area than I do, so my instinct and my ADHD instinct was, well, we've seen this. Let's just bolt out of here. That's what I was thinking in my head.
Right.
But I'm leaving that decision up to her, okay? So I look at her, and she looks at me, and we continue to listen, and she goes, okay, we can take off. So I said, well, maybe we could stagger it. Like, you go first, and then I'll go 5 minutes later so it's not so obvious that the couple is leaving, or maybe I should look at my phone and fake like there's an emergency or something. She takes off 5 minutes later. I take off. All right. So we don't watch the entire thing. Seen it before. You've made all the effort to go. You're in the house of God. Are you staying there or are you taking off?
Well, first of all, you thinking of making up emergency and lying in church is diabolical, as if God is not going to know exactly what you're doing.
It wasn't for God. That was the people in the pew.
That was for the judges.
Right. For the judges, right? Yeah. Well, in all honesty, if it would depend for me, because if this is a church that I've never really been to, or don't frequent often, or don't plan on going to again, I would have just left without thinking twice about it.
Okay.
However, if this is like a community church for me, where I know that these people are going to see me again, or they kind of are familiar with who I am, I don't think I would have the heart to just walk out of the sermon that fast and never come back and then have to show my face again for people to be like, I saw what you did last time.
Well, first of all, Buckhead Church is so big, man. Okay. I mean, it's enormous, bro. So I don't even know that the same people would see. It's not like a small community, itty bitty church.
Oh, someone saw you. And they were judging. They're like, we'll pray for them.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
I'm sure. And in this case, you can't really apply it to what you're saying because it was two different churches.
So, right. Okay.
So I'm not going to see the same people again.
Then I would have told God, I imagine you did not need me to have this message twice.
Right.
So we should be fine here. And I probably would have took off too.
No, I don't think you're listening to God well enough. God clearly wanted you to hear it a second time. He's like, I don't think you heard it well enough the first time around. Let's run this back week two.
I did have that thought also.
If you go back to church and it's that same message again, you need to stay there for that entire time.
The Burt Show.